Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it's a good story. It's a good story, and this is an unusual night for us to be on. We're on Thursday night, and it's going to be a great show. We have romance writers and actually erotic romance writers. It's going to be a lot of fun, and doing the chat room and helping me today is Bethany Cross, a new writer. Bethany, hi, Bethany.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, and we will be having a great show, and okay, I will say how to get on, because I know there's people in the chat room that want to know how to get on. Okay, you can listen to, you can go into www.michiganavenuemedia.com, and on the first page, on the home page, you go down, and the show will be, you'll be able to see and click on that link. Otherwise, you can go into www.blogtalkradio.com, and you can just put in Marcia Casper Cook, and it will come up. The show will come up. And we actually are featured tonight, so if you go on Blog Talk Radio and hit the, and just go on there, it should be on the second scroll that we're featured tonight. So that's a good thing. You never know if you're getting featured. They don't tell you till that day. So we're featured today, and it's going to be a great show. And I think before I do anything else, I probably should say a few things, because we might not get time to say that later. Okay, tomorrow I have another show at 12 o'clock. It's noon in Central Time, and it's with Dancing with Bear Publishing authors, the kids' books, and it's going to be a really fun show. Then Saturday I have a show with Craig Clyde at 11 in the morning, and it's Craig has a movie on Sunday night, on Hallmark, A Christmas Wish, and Craig and I have written some screenplays together, and he'll be discussing this one, and this one is on Sunday night. It'll be a few times more on the Hallmark Channel. And then Monday, Virginia has a show with Karen Siafi, who does marketing, and she also has a book out. And also on Tuesday, I have a show again on marketing, because this is the, we're going to talk to the authors today about marketing, because this is the toughest part of all. And they're from the World Castle Publishing, a couple of the writers. So we'll be on 2 p.m. on Tuesday. And so that's it. So now we're going to get on with our show. And we are, I'm going to tell you their names, and they're all going to come out. They'll tell a little bit about what they do, and then we're going to have an open discussion, as always. Sharon M., Roz, and Rue. And so maybe, M., do you want to start first, and you can tell everybody about yourself and the type of writing that you do, and then we'll have all the other ladies. Okay?
Okay, sure. I'm M. Petrova, and I am published in erotic romance. I have, I think, 22 books on contract. Most of those are already released. I have several books out with Red Sage, which I'm actually here with the Red Sage authors tonight.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. All Red Sage, from Red Sage Publishing. Okay.
But you can find me on at mpetrova.com.
Okay, and do you want to wait till everybody gets on, then you'll, or then we'll get, okay, Roz, okay, your turn.
I'm
there
here.
You go. Okay, all right. Hi.
Hi, I'm Roz Lee, and I write contemporary erotic romance, primarily for Red Sage. I've got 4 books and a novella out, and another novel coming out early next year that I just signed the contract on. So,
congrats. So that's exciting, boy. Okay, and then Rue.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I write a little bit of everything, but lately I've been contracting with Red Sage for erotic romance, and I just signed my second contract with them. So
that's great. What other types of genre do you write in?
I've written contemporary humor, romance, and historical.
Okay, there we go. That's good. So you're in a few markets. Okay, and then we have Sharon.
Hi, yeah, Sharon Bookbinder, and it's not spelled the way it sounds. It's Z-U-C-H-D-I-N-D-R. It's a German Buchbinder, but pronounced Buchbinder. And I've been writing fiction probably since I could hold a pen, but then I had to eat. So
right.
That was a problem.
Right.
So you had to get a job.
That's true. This is true.
The starving artist syndrome, it wasn't working for me because I'm a girl who likes to eat. And so when I turned 52, I thought, well, if I don't do this now, I never will. And I had been writing academic pieces before then. So in 2004, I ran away for a month and started writing. So I've written a number of short stories. I have several novellas. And my book with Red Sage is Desire and Deception has just been nominated for a Romantic Times Book of the Year Award for erotic fiction.
Wow. That's exciting. And
yeah.
That's the thing. You know, you never know in life where you're going to turn up, you know, because everybody here, I'm sure, never thought this is going to really be what their life is going to be. You just don't know, and that's what makes it fun. And that's why I love having romance writers on, because they are successful and they're happy and they don't really take it too seriously because they just enjoy writing, and it shows in their books, you know. So, I mean, I just, you know, what made, okay, now you were a Middle English, right? You did Middle English literature. So what all of a sudden made you decide, okay, now I'm going to try this genre?
Well, Sharon sounds an awful lot like me. I wrote a dissertation and figured out that if I could write 300 pages of boring stuff, it might be... that convinced me that, you know, I might as well write romances because I love them.
See, that's really the truth. You know, it really is, you know, it's a fun genre. And everybody, no matter what kind you do in the romance field, love is love no matter where you go. I mean, and so that's what it is. It appeals to everybody, you know. And how does everybody feel about that, how they got started into this? Does anybody want to, does Rude, you want to talk, or Em or Sharon? Well, Sharon, just did, but, you know, what do you want to talk about that, how you got into this or why?
Well, I can tell you, this is Roz. I can tell you how I got into it. It's a very... cliche story. I used to read so many romance novels when my daughters were growing up that when they were, I think they were in high school, and one of them said to me, well, Mom, you've read so many, you could probably write one of your own. And that was kind of like the big challenge then. It was like, okay, you know,
can
I bet I
right?
could.
And you did. And you did.
And I did. And it wasn't an erotic romance. I didn't start out doing that.
Right.
I don't think any of us did.
Hey, you never know, right?
Vanilla.
We never know how
it was
life
vanilla,
can.
And it was horrible, and no one will ever read that. But I typed the end, and it was finished. It was a complete book, even though it was a horrible one. And from there, it was like, you know, I can do this, and I can learn how to do it better. And so I spent a good number of years working on the craft. Learning how to write again, because, you know, as most of us, we've been out of the classroom for a long, long time. You know?
Right.
So, you know, it was like, okay, learning how to write good again, you know.
Yeah,
so,
but things have changed. There's a lot of changes. I mean, I think there are a lot of erotic romance writers now, you know, whereas there weren't, you know, there were some, but not like the amount now. I mean, there's a huge amount of people that are doing it, and people are liking it. And one of the good things, I don't know if you've noticed, because of the e-books, this makes it easy for people, because a lot of people didn't want to walk around with certain books. They didn't want to walk around even with romance books. I have a character for a screenplay that actually is optioned, that she did. She was a news reporter, and she would have just died if somebody knew that she read romances, and she didn't even believe in marriage or good relationships. And actually, one of the books fell out while she was in a scene, and you can see that she, you know, was reading that. But, I mean, so now with the e-pad, you know, with the iPad and everything and all these e-books, people can just get these books whenever they want.
Right.
Well,
you can sit at your kid's locker practice and read all this smut and nobody knows it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I wish they'd had those when I was reading all of them, sitting at the pool and sitting at softball games and, you know, with my stack of books. With their raised covers and people looking at me like, what is she doing?
Yes, I know. See, And, you know, and really that's, you know, because then there was always Jackie Collins and her books, you know, and she always had books into movies, and that's a great thing, you know. I mean, they, you know, really, I mean, it's, when you really think about it, when you see, you know, because I've written thrillers and I do, you know, when you do, when you read thriller books, there is sex in it, and it's erotic sex. So I, you know, it's, you know, and people go, oh, I'm not going to read an erotic romance book, but every book has that in it. I mean, you have stories in your books. So, I mean, it's like people don't realize that this is a genre, but it's also a story. It's not like you just sit there and every single scene is that way. So,
right.
I mean, I think that's one of the things people don't understand. And that's really why I have a lot of people on the show, because I really think it's a genre that people just, they go, oh, I can't read that. And that's ridiculous, because when they read a lot of books, do they stop reading those scenes when they're in a thriller? No, they just go read them, and they don't think anything of it, which is very similar to what you guys are doing. You have a story.
That's true.
You
I
the plot comes first and foremost, and... Sorry. I was going to say the plot comes first and foremost always. The sex is secondary.
Right,
it's just the icing on the cake.
I think that's really, I think that is the case, you know, because you come up with an idea, and as you said before, you know, the characters kind of do their own, you know, they do their own thing, I think. We were talking about this before the show. I mean, I think sometimes when you're writing, I know I am, I mean, you plan for a character to do one thing, but all of a sudden they do another, and people think, you know, if you're not a writer, they think you're probably crazy when you say this, but the truth is, we all know that once we're writing it, it does start happening. And then you go, oh, no, this character wouldn't do that, this character wouldn't do this. And so I guess, you know, you start it one way and it turns out another way.
Sometimes I feel that does happen. And I think sometimes, too, you have to grab those characters kind of by the balls and tell them where they need to be.
Well, you can tell we're in a romance story right now. Was that M speaking?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, as long as you said that, okay, here you go. This is the hardest thing for all of us. It's the marketing. So what are you thinking, I mean, in terms of how are you trying to market people? And because I know you do marketing and, you know, what do you think is the best way to do this? I mean, because there's so many books out there, we're all in competition. What have you found to be the best things out there?
I wish I knew what the best was.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Honestly, I don't know. There is no best. But, you know, we all try different things. But where do you put, you know, some of the books? Where do you think they should go? And who do you, you know, what sites are you on? Are you in the social networking, which is so tiring, and it's such busy work, but we're all doing it.
I think everyone has to have a website. I actually do marketing on the side for some smaller publishers, and there are authors out there who don't have a blog, they don't have a website, and where are these readers supposed to connect with you?
Right.
If you don't even have a Facebook page, you have to be out there, and you have to talk up your brand.
And the other thing is, though, but they have to pay for some of this, okay? I mean, that's one of the things that nobody wants. Like, they think that doesn't matter if you're traditionally published, if you're not traditionally, you know, if you're self-published, you really have to pay for some of this, because it takes time to do all this. It's not easy. I mean,
lots of time.
Yes, it's mega time-consuming. I just spent a whole day on it today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of social networking?
I personally do a lot of social networking with, thank God for Hootsuite and TweetDeck, so I can schedule ahead of time. But I do spend a lot of time on Facebook.
Now you said TweetDeck. You said TweetDeck, okay. And what was the other one?
Hootsuite.
Okay. Now, TweetDeck, I know. Okay. Do you want to talk a few seconds about TweetDeck? Because I think most people don't know what that is, and I've mentioned it to people because I just found out about that myself. All right. What is TweetDeck?
It's a program where you can hook up through Twitter, and you're able to tweet in advance, and you're able to have, like, a whole smorgasbord of what's going on in the Twitter world right in front of you at all times. So it is very beneficial. I actually schedule all my tweets on Sundays so that I can be freer to write during the week.
See, that's a good. So you put down everything you want, and then it goes out without you having to do it.
You just type it in as if you would a regular tweet, but then there's like a little calendar. You can schedule the times and dates.
This is a great thing. See, because,
yeah.
You know, the problem is, because once you, which I think everybody here will attest to, is when you get on the computer and you start going into Twitter or whatever, 2 hours later, you're like, oh, my God, sometimes it is, but you just go on there and you go like, oh, how could this possibly have been 2 hours? Like, I look at the clock sometimes and I go, oh, it's like 11 o'clock. Good, I have several more hours before I should go to bed. And so the next thing I know, it's 2, and then I go, oh, my God, I didn't finish what I wanted to do. So then I have to start the other thing. And then sometimes I take my contacts out, and I can't see that as well. So then sometimes I capitalize. So then I have people saying, I like, who are you mad at? I'm going, I'm not mad. I'm just tired. because I think people have, you know, they have certain rules where they go like, oh, if you use uppercase, you're mad at someone. I go, no, I just really could see better. It's much easier on a computer.
Getting out
and
your big,
like,
print.
Yeah, you know, because you're tired. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're already sick of everything you've done, and you go like, oh, and then sometimes the next day you go like, what did I do? Or even when you know, that's what happens when you're writing too. It's basically too late, and most people are up late, and because they're doing all of this, it takes time. You know,
I don't know about a lot of you, but I really feel like not only is all the promotion a time suck, but it's a creativity suck. So you have to balance and get in your words before you, like, jump into that promotion, because if you don't, you end up brain dead and you can't put down a single word on your work in progress.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right, because that is what happens.
One of the things that gets me with the social networking thing is with the time zones, because – I'm on the West Coast, which, you know, so many of people are on the East Coast. There's 3 hours difference here.
It's a big difference.
You know, so by the time I get up in the morning, it's nearly midday for a lot of the people who are reading my stuff, you know. So trying to reach those people, it's like, okay, I feel like I have to start my morning out with the social networking, you know, so that they know I'm awake, you know.
I think this is true because, you know, I mean, Sandra, are you, Bethany, are you still here? Are you here, Bethany?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't lose you. Okay, now, how do you feel about any of this? Because you're coming into this market, so how do you feel about what you're going to have to do now about social networking?
I am scared to death. There is so much that you have to do, you know, when you're just getting started out, and it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
You know, with the website and the Facebook pages and blogs and everything, it's just going to be a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and that's the problem.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I feel like most of this is all written in a language that I don't know.
Well, I think it takes me twice as long, because
I have to figure out what they said. You know, it's like read the instructions. I don't even know what that word means.
Well, I think you know what it is. I think it's like we're all not born knowing this, okay? And even the people that do it all the time, like myself, I'm out there doing it all the time. It's still, I think it's a form of, to me, of like writer's block, because, you know, you really need to be writing. And I, every day, like, now I'm doing a lot of shows because I think the shows are important for people to hear all these things, and I've done this for years, and I really think that finally I have people that will be able to listen, because I really have done this for like 20 years, and I know how hard this is. And I think that, you know, I'm an advocate of people to continue to write, but once you do write the story, then you have to do all of this, and this is, it's a lot. I mean, and if you don't do it the right way, like, if you don't have a website and you don't start out right and you don't do any of this, it's not right. I mean, you will never get this right, because you have to start out with these things, because they have to be able to find you and you have to connect, you know. And the radio shows, I think, are one good thing, and press releases, you know, and things like that. You know, Rue, how do you market? Do you market, or?
I'm still struggling with it, and I've been doing it for years.
See, that's it. See, right. Yeah. So I think, even if we've done it for years, it's still a struggle.
and I can't keep it up. I'm on Facebook right now, and I don't get it.
I don't think it's anything that I really don't think it's that you're not getting it. I think that, like, this is one of the things that I've noticed. I've noticed that everybody and their brother is a reviewer. So they're not really reviewers. And I think that what's happened is people are asking everybody for reviews and likes and all of this. But basically the bottom line is you got to sell books. And by doing all of this does not guarantee you to sell books. And you can't be depressed if you don't, because it's not really, most people are not selling a lot of books. Facebook people are people that I love to meet, because I wouldn't have met half of the people that I know now, and I'm so happy I met them. But they're not going to buy all my books. And I think the people that are going to buy my books are the readers. And so that's why we have to get out to more readers rather than just to people that are on Facebook. Those can be our friends and we can talk, but you can't beg people, because I see people all the time, they're begging people, you know, please put like, please do this, please do that. And you know what? They're going to take them off. They're just going to erase, you know, they're just going to get rid of them, you know.
I would have to say that authors are readers too, and I do support my fellow authors. I do buy their books.
I do believe
that you're right too, that you have to have a good mix, and you have to find the readers, and you have to make those personal connections, because that is what sells.
Okay, so you said TweetDeck, but you also said something else. What was the other one you said?
It was Hootsuite.
Now, what is that? That I don't know.
It's just another platform where you can link in with all of your social media.
How do you spell that so the people out there could listen? And how do you spell that? It's Hoot?
It's
like
Hoot.
Mm-hmm.
Suite.
Okay.
But you can tweet and Facebook at the same time, so it will come out, it'll publish on both at the same time, so you kind of hit.
That's what happens, because I think what happens also is, one of the things is, because when you look and it says share, you can share it with, like, there's like hundreds of things you can share it with now, and the problem is that you don't know who they're sharing it with, and sometimes you can look at your site, then you have like five things that look exactly the same. You know, and then people think, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing because she's got it on her site. You know, because that's what people do. They comment constantly, or they get upset. I mean, realizing that when you do this, they can put it on something and you might not know they're going to put it on. So it's not like you don't know what you're doing. And so right away people say, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's an idiot. She doesn't know how to Facebook right. You know, and I don't, my opinion is, I don't think there's really a right and a wrong. You just do it. Some things work, some things don't. And you can't be afraid if it's wrong, because I don't think there's that many experts out there. Some people would like to believe they are, but they're not. You know, we're just regular people. You know, and we're trying to get our books out. I think that's basically what people have to realize, is that we're just like everybody else.
Well, maybe. Can I jump in here for a second?
You certainly can. You can jump.
This is Sharon.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I try to remind in teaching marketing and in teaching, you know, people about membership recruitment is that people always learn by word of mouth, and that word of mouth, not only is it free advertising,
yes,
but it is the cheapest and the best form of advertising. And in the old days, when all the books were sold at bricks and mortar stores, or when you went to the library and the librarian saw you coming in, they'd say, oh, we have your books over here. We know just what you want.
Right.
And the hand selling that occurred at that time was, you know, one-on-one. And there are reader sites like Goodreads that are out there. And even Amazon, to their credit, has a very lively group of discussions where readers connect with readers, and they tell each other about books that they've been reading. And then
Amazon. So you like the Amazon one. Okay.
I like the Amazon in terms of ratings, so you can see how it's trending. But I also like Goodreads, and I have a Goodreads author page, and I highly recommend other authors do that because that's how you can connect with your readers and you can track. And I found that there are actually more readers posting rankings and ratings and reviews on Goodreads than they are on Amazon. So, you know, that's a good indication. And they also have a listing of to be read. so you can get a sense of how well you're, it's a sort of a tip of the iceberg in all marketing. You're not going to get the whole picture. You might get a 10% sampling that way.
Yeah.
But in that to-be read pile, I can see, for instance, with Kiss of the Silver Wolf, that at least, you know, 120 people are saying it's to-be read. Well, that's a good thing for me. And
it is that good. I mean, but is that good? Do they really? I mean, because, I, you know, that's a thing that I'm not sure of a lot of times because, you know, they say to-be read, but that doesn't mean they'll ever read it.
Well, what I found is that oftentimes people will convert from that to be read to read. And, you know, basically what you want to do is to have people at least looking at your book, thinking about your book and considering it.
Right.
And so the to be read pile can actually be, I have a big to be read pile in my Kindle. I've already downloaded all these books. I have 100 books in my Kindle easily, maybe more.
Wow.
And I'm going to read them, but I've already bought them. So their to-be-read pile could be in their Kindle or their Nook or their, you know, Sony e-reader.
Okay.
So I think it's good reason, a good place to go.
Yeah, because I'm on all those sites, but, you know, and I actually, when I started out, you know, even with my screenplays, I've been in, which nobody ever mentions, and I'm surprised I even thought of it today, but Author's Den, I still pay my dues, and I do, and Is anybody on there? I mean, they have a lot of people on there, but I really don't do anything anymore now that I've just remembered it, that I haven't done it for a long time. But Author's Den, there's tons of authors and readers. Is anybody on Author's Den?
Never even heard of it.
This is not a good thing for Author's Den. And okay, I should call him and tell him he probably should. Because you know, honestly, on all the shows I've done, which I think I swear I've done like 90 shows already, I have never mentioned that. Just, I don't know what made me think of Author's Den, but I just, you know, and honestly, Author's Den is a good place to be on because I'll tell you what, well, maybe because Author's Den, I think they do charge because I pay every few months to be on it, but the thing is, Author's Den, the minute you put something on there, they put it out. It goes out. So maybe look into it and maybe I should continue looking into mine, but authorsden.com. I mean, I signed years ago, and I still think that I thought a lot of people were on there. We've never talked about it, so apparently a lot of people aren't on authorsden.com. So check it out because there are a lot of authors on there and readers.
Go ahead.
This is real. I have a question for Anne, and I was it Bethany who has marketing experience. Is it maybe better to do one or two things well rather than try and do all of them and not do any of them well?
I think if you're consistent, but I think that you really have to just keep trying because if you feel like, okay, I did all these blogs this month and I didn't see any jump in royalties or any jump in web hits, then you're not finding the market and you need to switch it up. Otherwise,
okay.
you're like spamming.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what you're saying, these are the things that probably, since all of us don't know this, I mean, and I do think that I, from all the shows that I have hit, I've learned all the different things, but we never really talk about these things. Okay, now we're having people that, like myself, that we, now when you're saying, okay, all these hits, now I check with my website, and I really don't do a lot of this because I am so busy on the phone, I'm tired of doing all this, and I don't know that, does that, all of that work to check all your hits? I know that there's tons of people coming on because my Michigan Avenue site, there are a lot of people on there, on my site, but do you, I mean, because I know a lot of people go on every day and they're checking Amazon, and I don't really do that. Do you think that's a benefit to go in and check every day and see what's happening? Or it's kind of like weighing yourself every day, you know?
I don't think that you need to get obsessive and stalk yourself because then that's just another time suck. I think that if you do something new and you take a chance, like say you put out a cover ad on a prominent review site, you will want to see if you got a return from that.
Yeah.
So if you've linked it to your website or if you've, you know, if you're not seeing a jump in your royalties from it, then maybe it's not beneficial to spend your money in that way. Do you know what I mean?
I kind of figure like, this is how I look at it. Probably, I'm sure it's not the best way to look at it, but I do think, and I've said this before, when I become rich, I'll know that I'm selling a lot of books. I mean, otherwise, you know, you're not selling books. You know, I try my hardest to, you know, think about this, and I am out there marketing, but I don't really go in and check, and because I really don't. And I think that because I've watched so many other people being depressed about not being in a certain rating. So, you know, I think you're right. You probably do have to check it, and, you know, I'm not the best at that. But I think that actually one of my books, which is my nonfiction book, which is Sala More Than a Survivor, it's about a Holocaust survivor, and I don't really push that one very much to do anything, and I don't even have a video on that one, and that one sells more than my other books. So that's why I figured, like, who knows, you know, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. So I don't think there's a guideline. I think that you're probably right, you have to check out all these things. So I think when we're telling people this, we're saying, okay, you have to have a website. And, okay, now blogging, if you do too much of it, people don't like that either. So, and what would you think is a good amount of blogging to do on a daily, you know, on a week, let's say a week, or what would you do for, what would you tell people to do?
Well, I can tell you that personally I plan to cut down on it because I'm just driving myself crazy,
okay.
And I'm overworked.
Okay. Well, no, that's what we're talking about, all this, because seriously, because I think that's what's happening to everybody. We'll all probably meet at some institute because we're all getting crazy from all of this, and we're all sleep deprived because of it. You know?
I think the best way to sell a book is to put it at the right house. It must be the best match. So if you,
okay.
Like Red Sage is prominently male-female erotic romance, if you're going to try to put, like, a gay romance there, it's probably not going to sell as well as it would, say, at Lucid, where there's a lot of gay romance. So, I mean, you have to go where the readers are.
Lucid, I don't think I've had anybody on from Lucid. Okay, so Lucid is, that's gay, okay.
It's not all.
I thought a lot of male-female, too.
It's everything,
yeah.
But there are a lot of... They have a big following for male-male and menage. So
yeah.
I think that's just one of the best ways to sell your book is to go where the readers are and make that right match.
But, you know, I was looking up and I was checking out Red Sage naturally. And, okay, they've been around for a long time. Okay, and they do have other genres on there. So, I think they've been around, right, for a long time.
Yeah, we have been
16
out.
Years.
Yeah,
think.
One of the pioneers of erotic romance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, because there's a lot now. See, that's the other thing. You know, I think like Bethany and I had talked about this before, that there are a lot of places you can go to do erotic romance, but, you know, sometimes you don't know if it's the right one or if the contract is good. I mean, these are all the issues that people have to go through, you know, and that's why, like, when I have shows like this, when people are from, like, let's say the Red Sage or, you know, with the World Castle, and, you know, people are, you know, listening to these things because they want to know certain names because, you know, if you've never heard it and you've just started doing this, you know, you don't want to get yourself in a place where you're stuck for 8 years because that can happen. And with traditional fiction and things like that, that used to happen to people and they can't do anything with their books for like 6 years or something like that. So do you all have contracts for a certain amount of years or like a year or two? Anybody want to care to talk about the contract part? Is it a year or two? Okay, all right. So, okay, well, I'll keep talking. You know, that's the thing. Nobody answers. I keep going on. So. No, the thing is, no, does everybody have a contract? Don't you have contracts for a year or two?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, right, so not for long range. Has anybody had one? Because I know that people have had one from other places, and they are not happy about that. So my suggestion is, because, you know, I still am a literary agent. I just haven't taken clients right now. I do screenplays and things like that. But, you know, I just wondered, I prefer like a year contract or two at the most, you know, because I think after that, if it's not a good match, maybe you need to move on. And I like the contracts also that let you get out of it if you're not happy. So, I mean, how does everybody feel? Anybody feel a certain way about that? But you're all happy with where you are. So, have you been in bad contracts, anybody? Or
I haven't been in a bad contract. This is Ruth.
Right.
I've had publishers, so I'm not speaking of Red Sage right now.
Right, right.
I have other publishers who did not, in my opinion, fulfill their promises. Fortunately,
regaining my rights was a matter of giving 90 days notice.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so that's right. Yeah, that's okay. Then that's not a bad thing. Right. You know, right. And, you know, but, like, a lot of the publishers now, traditional, and a lot of people are self-publishing. I did, and now I'm traditionally published, but I'm still, and I actually published some of my own books. You know, I'm looking to see which are the best, you know. It's because I think what's happening now is the newer publishers, they're telling people, and even, you know, the old-time ones, people have to go out, and they have to really, they have to help themselves. They cannot just have a book and do nothing. And, you know, actually it's so much better than it was years ago because now there's so many other things you can do. You know, there wasn't Facebook or those things where you could even meet people to talk about this with. You know, and Em, I know you're out there marketing all the time. I mean, you've made suggestions. And so do you find that people are out there like they should or they need to do more on their own?
I think everyone needs to take initiative because I don't even think that the major New York publishing houses are really giving marketing dollars or marketing a
right. I agree. I
think you just have to be very savvy.
Yeah. And that's hard, though. It's hard to learn that, to be savvy. So, you know, when you do marketing, you do private marketing also for people?
I work for a couple of publishers doing marketing, okay. But, of course, I'm marketing my own
right.
First and foremost.
Okay, so all right. So let's say, which you started to say before when we started to talk about that. Okay, so someone has a book published, okay, and then they go like, now what do I do? And a lot of people, that's what they say because they really aren't familiar with this. So you're saying the first thing would be to get a website.
I would say so. I mean, I don't think I got mine up right away. What about you guys? Did you guys?
Mine went up immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I had a pen name, put up the website.
Rue,
yeah.
What about you? Rue, the same? And Raz?
Went up the minute I knew I was going to have a book out.
That you just
Hello?
Did it then? Yeah. Can you hear us? Hello?
I don't
know.
Yeah, sometimes it goes in. It's occasionally. It depends on what city you're in sometimes, too, about that. Because sometimes it's bad weather. Okay, go ahead.
I'm a little confused here. No, my website went up the minute I knew I had a book coming out.
Okay, so you did it immediately. Okay, and that Raz, that was Rue, right? So, Raz, what about you? Did you have...
I put mine up immediately. As soon as I had my pen name...
Yeah.
Decided
so,
I put up a website.
And
see, I personally didn't put mine up right away because I was on dial-up and there was no way in hell I was going to be able to upload anything to it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's so Bethany, you're going to have to do a website probably now too, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not only working.
I was just going
to
say
not only. You have to do a website, but you have to update it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And make sure.
So, I mean, yeah, I think these are all things that people, I mean, they actually, all right. Now, the other question is, this came up, you know, I actually was talking to someone, they wanted to be, they wanted me to be their agent, but I don't think I'll do that, but I think I think she'll be on one of my shows, because after I was talking to her, we were talking about the fact, I mean, I have corporations, LLCs, I have a couple in that, and so, I mean, I think writers have to really they have to probably think about what they want to do in the future and how they want to run their business, and this is a business. So I think I'm going to have a show that like that because I think a lot of times people don't take writers seriously, but it is a business, you know, and we have to pay tax on the books we sell and things like that. So does anybody have an LLC or a corporation or are they thinking of that? Because sometimes, you know, that's a good thing to start when you're writing because it is a business. Does anybody
feel
anything?
I have an LLC.
Now, who's that?
I have an LLC.
Now, that was Raz, Rue? Raz, was that you?
Sharon.
Oh, Sharon. Okay, you have an LLC. Okay, so you have an LLC. Does anybody else? I mean, I have one. Mine is Michigan Avenue Media, and my other company is it is a corporation. So I think I'm going to have her on my show because one of my shows, because I think it, some of this I think people don't know, and, you know, how to, this is a business, so we have to run it like a business. And I think, you know, if we take it seriously, then I think it will become more serious, you know. And I think that a lot of writers don't realize how important this is. This is our business. This is what we do. We're writers. And it's taken me a long time to say I'm a writer, because I always come up with, I say, yes, I write screenplays, I do this and that, and I have to really, like, practice saying, I am an author, and I did books, and, you know, because it's, you know, it's, we say it, but we really don't, you know, say it enough, probably, you know, because I've met people that finally I'm actually saying that I have books, and they go, oh, we had no idea. And, like, I'm, like, I go to restaurants, and I'm there forever, and I come every week or whatever, and they never knew because I didn't say anything. And we've had people on the show and from World Castle, and one of them was saying, when you go to the beauty shop and when you go wherever you go, you should tell people. And actually, I think about that, but when I get there, I just feel like, oh, my God, they're going to see me coming every time. I'm going to be handing out cards. But I think, how does anybody go around their regular life? I mean, you don't – maybe some of you are not using your regular name, but the ones that do, how do you feel about that?
I do it. I take my cards everywhere. I keep,
really?
I have them in my purse. They're in my car. Everywhere.
I have them everywhere. I just don't give them out. That's my problem.
I have been known to leave bookmarks in random lockers at my gym.
Okay. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Very clever. When they're all steamed up anyway.
Every day I just choose a different locker out of the hundreds in the gym.
Wow.
And when I leave a bookmark behind.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, you know what, because it is a good idea, because then they, you know, they'll say, like, oh, what's this? And they'll maybe go look at it. Yeah.
I've heard of people wearing library books and doing that.
And so
there's another
hit. Yeah, there's a hit
there
on the website.
They might be all left a garbage can somewhere, but, you know, I don't know. What did that cost me?
Isn't it that they have to see your name three times before they bite or recognize you? Yeah.
You think so? You think that's what they have to do? They have to keep your name?
I think that is, like, one of the marketing laws of the world.
The law. Okay, right. Then we'll put that down. Well, that sounds like a good law. But I think that's kind of true, though. I think they don't know who we, you know, there's so many writers now, they don't really know who everybody is. But, you know, and that's one of the things also, how does everybody feel about the book reviews? Because I've had a lot of people on, and I know that Bethany knows this, we've talked about this. You know, like, sometimes people get very upset with book reviews, and they really shouldn't, because it's just a person's opinion. So how does everybody feel about if they don't get a good review, or if they get a good review?
We're actually having a discussion about this on the Red Sage Goodreads group.
And what
so,
do they say?
We have. We've all jumped in and kind of said. Lately I've found, you know, sometimes I get a good review, but sometimes I have one particular book that has a lot of bad reviews on the buy page and really bothers me, but it's still selling. So I guess in the end it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. See, that's one of the things, right? And see, but the other thing is, though, which I started to say before, is the reviews. Sometimes, you know, like, I read this book, and I've told people about this because Gerard McGainey, I always spell his name wrong. He'll kill me. Anyway, he's coming on my show. He's written several books, and Bethany knows who he is, and he's really smart. And it's The Watchman of Ephraim was his first book, and he told me to read this book, which is, I'm not big on self-help books, but this one was, you know, how this man wrote how he sold 1 million e-books in 5 months. And his name is John Locke. And I read it. It was in an e-book. And it was really fabulous and was really good because he has a whole campaign of, like, what he does with his e-books. But he also says things about what you were talking about before, reviews. Now, if you have reviews from reviewers, but if you want your friends to review things or people, he has a separate page, I think, for them to write, yes, this is great, whatever. And then he has from reviewers. Because I think what's happened is sometimes you don't really know. I mean, what if this person's, like, read one book and they just come out and say, oh, I hate this book? And that's kind of bad, you know, when you look at it that way. It's just their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, and that you don't really want. Yeah, the guy's name is, I've tried to get him on my show, but so far not I haven't been successful. He doesn't really want to do radio shows, but his name is John Locke. And he did do an e-book, and then Simon & Schuster picked him up because he sold so many. And he has a routine that he does, and certainly with all of you that are writing, is to keep writing. See, that's one of the things. That's one of his things in the book, is to keep writing. And as far as blogs go, he said do not write a blog every minute, because the blogs turn out to be, you know, it's like, what did you have for breakfast? They don't care. They just want meaningful blogs, you know, in a few days. You know, every few days maybe, or he writes only, I think, 17 in a year. But he writes very meaningful that people will come back to really listen, really, you know, read what he wrote, because it's about something important. And so I think that's something that I think is a good thing.
It's a good point.
Right. Because I think what's happening is, because of all the blogs and because of all of what we're doing, you know, if we do too much of it, that's not good either. I mean, and we all tend to want to do a lot, but what happens is it beneficial? Which I'm beginning to think no. Because when you have that choice, if they can hide you or not, the more stuff you have out there, they could hide you, people. And that's, you know, because Facebook has changed things. Before, everybody got every message, but now it's not working that way. You have to go in and resubscribe to people, too. So if they're sick of seeing you, they might not subscribe again.
Right. However, I do believe that the good thing about blogging in a lot of different places is that if you Google your own name, you come up with all the places that you've been.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, and that is good exposure if somebody, they don't have to do
searching for
you.
I've spent 2 years doing it, honestly, 2 years. Pressfully. And when I put my name up, it does. And my husband, he was like laughing. He says, wait a minute. Goes like, he keeps going on. There's all these things. And because it does take a lot of time to do this, but it is worth it. Because I think that people, like, let's say you're talking to somebody, and then as soon as they go home, they'll do on their, you know, cell phones, they're going to look, and they're going to Google you. And if you come up, they'll go, oh, my God, you know. And if you don't come up, that's not a good thing. They need to see you.
Yes.
You know.
And the more you have out there, the more chances are you're going to make the first page. If you
right.
have
see,
a name that
right.
is similar to other
right.
people's. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And well,
see,
one thing
yeah.
about guest blogging, and I've lately been doing a lot of guest blogging.
I heard that's good.
You know, going to other people's blogs, not mine. You know, I've actually started inviting people to come and guest blog on my blog.
Yeah, that's a
good
thing.
But I go to other people's blogs, and I post, you know, something. I'm invited there, and I'm allowed to, you know, show my book cover, to, you know, give an excerpt from my books. And they've got a different following than what I have.
Right.
So, you know, it's an opportunity for me to get my book and my name out in front of a different group of people who may not have known or ever heard of me.
That's
you know?
A good thing.
So,
no, okay, right, so some of these things we've never done before, and I've never really done. Okay, so when you're saying, because I want people that are listening to understand how to do, okay, so let's say you're on a blog. You want to invite them to a blog. What do you do? Do you email them? Do you do it on the blog?
Oh, to invite someone to come
yes.
and blog for
yes.
me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some different marketing sites who actually put together blog tours, and I am signed up with one of them. And when you know people pay them to organize a blog tour, and then they offer this as you know I can pick. You know, it's like, oh, I'd like to have that author come and
okay.
blog
right, because
on my
I'll
blog.
Tell you why. Right, I'll tell you why because you know. That is a very good thing, the blog tours, okay? Because, like, Virginia Grenier, who is the other part of World of Ink Network, we were both on Red River together, and she has always done children's book tours. And now she's going into the mainstream book tours. And that's, you know, she specifically finds, like, let's say your book is a kid's book. Well, then it goes into the mommy bloggers or whatever, because you have to be on the right blog. If you're not on the right blog, it will do nothing for you. And a lot of times people say they'll do this for you in marketing, and they're not at the right blog. So if it's not the right blog, they're not going to be interested in you. So, I mean, and that's really important.
Right.
So you're right. The blog tour is important. And
it's the virtual book tour is
right.
what it is. You know, where it used to be people went out to the bookstores, you know, and they
right.
sat there and they signed
right.
their books and they met the readers. Well,
right.
that's practically impossible to do now,
yeah.
and even more so when you have an e-book out there, because you don't really have anything to show them, you know, or for them to hold in their hand and buy.
Now, are all your books, are all your e-books e-books, but are they paper at all? Do you have any, do you have paperback? Or
no.
No.
I have some coming, but haven't been released yet.
Yep.
So,
I mean, you
know, it's really
a lot
difficult.
Of people do want that. Yeah, a lot of people want the paperback.
So I do have a book signing coming up in at a Barnes & Noble. It's a fundraiser for a school, and the Los Angeles Romance Writers are showing up there, and we're
That's great.
We've been invited to come and sign our books and sell our books there as
that's
a fundraiser
great.
for a school. And I threw my name in the hat, and it's all primarily ebook authors who are going to be there. And Barnes and Noble is accommodating us right there.
Because you can download it. You can download it from
Barnes
and Noble, right? Yes.
Yeah. If you have,
well, they have to do this, otherwise they won't have people doing this. No, they won't have people.
Well, you know, they want to sell their e-books too.
Right.
And you know, the whole thing is, as we've talked, I'm not going to make much money. You know, a few pennies really for going there and doing that.
Yeah, I know.
But the whole idea is to
getting your name out
face to face. You know, and say, hey, I'm Roz Lee, and this is what I write, and talk to them about my books.
Because people want to hear that. And one of the problems of the bookstores is they don't, you know, what's happened is, I think, and I know this to be true, actually, because the fact is there's so many writers now, and what their bookstores are making a big mistake is by not having a lot of the authors in the stores, because people really like to meet authors. So what happens is now they just say no straight across the board, and that's bad.
Right.
If you call up, if you write, they don't want to do it. And this is wrong, because people really want, the regular people, readers, love to ask questions of writers. They do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, And it's that's part that hopefully will be changed soon, where writers can go in and, you know, actually talk to the people that are reading their books. You know, and I think that this is, you know, Barnes & Noble is, they had to do this now because of everything that's happened in this market. I mean, in the last, like I would say, in the last 2 years, this has exploded in the e-books. I mean, it is so different than it was, because people did not think that e-books would go this far this fast. And it's huge, you know.
Right.
And I'm happy because people are getting a shot that they never got before, ever.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, there are so many more books out there, but that just makes it harder as an author to get noticed.
Yeah, it does. That's exactly right. This
you
is
know,
all
how do you how do you get your name out there? You know, and get people to say, "Hey, you know, start talking about Roz Lee and promoting her books to their friends." You know, it's really difficult, especially when they never see you in person.
Exactly. And speaking of that, right before, because you know, so when we end the show, I don't want to forget all this. I want everybody to go around, and I want you to give your websites and where they can buy your books or whatever, you know, download, so they know that. Okay, so, all right, Em, you can go first. You want to go first? And just, you know, so we can get, I want people to hear where everybody's website is.
Oh, I am empetrova.com.
And where can they get your books?
I always say I'm a publishing whore, and I have books everywhere. It's best to go to my website.
We're still on the air from the other words, so I guess we can use those words then. Who knew? Who knew? I didn't know. Well, I guess so. So, all right, so you go all over. So, all right, go ahead. Say where you are then.
I am at Red Sage. I'm at Allura's Cave. I have a book at Lucid and a new series releasing with them. I have Decadent Publishing. I just have a little hand in everything, and I've just tried to spread myself out and kind of see what works best for me.
Okay, that's a good thing. So that's why exactly after all of this, I want to have you all on again, maybe, you know, sometime next year, you know, maybe in a couple months, to see how all of this marketing is coming along. Because you're right, what you're saying is, so you're just out there, so maybe in a couple of months we'll be able to see what really works for people, you know. And that's what I do. I'm everywhere, and I'm not sure about anything. I really don't. I don't know, you know. I really don't. And
I don't think anybody knows. I mean,
I agree with you.
Even the New York Times best-selling authors when you hear them talk about their marketing strategies and what they're doing, they'll tell you the same thing. They don't know
what's working either.
They're just doing it all.
I do a lot of shows, and with Fran Lewis, who does a lot of the New York Best Time, she does a lot of people out, and they really, I think everybody is trying their best. So that's what I try to get across to people: is you just try your best, and you just keep going all over and trying your best to figure out what works, because I don't think there is a set, something set in stone that we all can do, because I think it's just trying a lot of other things. All right, now, Roz, do you want to give your website and everything so people will know who you are?
Okay. I'm at rozlee.net. And I also think, you can find out anything you want about me there.
Okay.
But I think we all, all my books are at Red Sage, and that website is eredsage.com. So if you want to look and see what all of us are writing, you can go there, and all of our books are there. But my books are also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all romance e-books, and probably a half a dozen other third-party sellers.
Yeah, and a lot of us don't know where our books are. We have no clue. I mean, they could be anywhere,
Can I just say, too, that Roz is going to have one of her books on Amazon for 99 cents coming up over Black Friday through Cyber Monday.
Well, actually, I should say that myself, because you're right. I believe in that, and I have my books on Smashwords, and a lot of people, I'm thinking of changing it. Well, some of it's on Kindle, too. So if that, and also, a lot of people don't know what Smashwords is, and Smashwords is a good site to be on, and because they, it 99-cent days, and I think that it's a wonderful, I really think it's important. I know publishers are not thrilled with me for saying this, probably, but the truth is to get yourself out there, and some people do not want to spend $20 on a new author, but they will spend 99 cents.
Right.
And,
well, that's exactly what we're doing. It's it's a bonus.
I agree on that.
In my series. I have four books out in a series. The first one is The Lust Boat, and that one will be available on Amazon for 99 cents from Black Friday until Cyber Monday. So if anybody wants to
give Roz Lee's series a try.
I did the same thing. I agree with you.
You can't go wrong with 99 cents. Yeah, I agree. I actually, and that's what I really don't talk about enough, and that's true. So I really think that that's not a bad idea for people to do, because this way you can get out there, and that is a good way to get readers interested, and so when you have another book, they're going to want to read it. So, I mean, and everybody is kind to, the budget is tough these days, and so I think for 99 cents, you just say, oh, okay, I think I'll do that, and if you don't like it, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. If you didn't like it, you wasted 99 cents, not $4, $5, $10, $20, whatever.
You can't even get a pack of gum for 99 cents. You can't get a pack of gum.
That's true. So,
that's a good. Really, I believe in that a lot. Okay, and Rue, where are you now?
I'm still here.
Okay.
My website is actually RueAllen.com.
Okay.
And you can find me at Red Sage and Barnes & Noble and Fiction Wise and, you name it, you can probably find me there.
So that's a good thing. So the one thing I can tell you is, Sharon, it's your turn next, but I just want to say, it's very interesting because people really don't talk about it that much, but so Barnes & Noble does have erotic romance. So this is a good thing. So it's not just on separate websites. It's on.
Oh, no. No, we're on all the big retailers.
All the major third party, yeah.
Well, it's important to keep saying these things because, honestly, people just, they classify. I'm not big on that. I don't like when people do that, but the trouble is people do that. So that's why I'm trying to bring out points that these are books, and if Amazon and everybody has them. It's not like something that's in a bookstore from, years ago where you'd like to have to go in and put like a bag over your head or something that you were going to get a book.
No, we're not the dirty little secret anymore.
Exactly. Okay, there you go. Okay, and all right, Sharon, go ahead.
My website is www.Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, Bookbinder, B-U-C-H-B-I-N-D-E-R.com. I blog every Tuesday, and I have a variety of guest bloggers who come visit me, and I'm always looking for new authors. And I have all of my work is available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's, or basically where the other sites or the other ladies have mentioned, pretty much wherever e-books are sold.
Okay, see, that's a good thing. All right, now, see, what I wanted to say is just all of these authors that were on, except for Am I Know, just email me your phone numbers, because I don't have your phone numbers, and I like to have phone numbers because I prefer to call people and talk to them, because I have so many emails that I just, it's too much, and I'm just, because it's horrible. I'm starting to delete them, and I hate this, but I can't. There's not, I'll never do another thing in my life except if I do emails. You know, and I mean, it's true. And Bethany will, if anybody wants to hear about Bethany Cross's new book, just you can, I'll be talking about it, and it will be on www.michiganavenuemedia, so you'll know about that when her book comes out, which will probably be about 4 months. So, and Bethany, are you ready to do all that marketing? You got to do that marketing now. We only got to do the marketing.
No. I actually have a couple of questions, Marcia.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, all right, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. They were talking about blog tours.
Yes.
Is that the same thing as a blog hop?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. No.
You want to tell her about, let's talk about that for a minute or so. Go ahead.
Blog hops are generally for readers. To go from one author's website to another in a weekend or a week, depending on whatever time period they set on it. And they're designed, it's like kind of a trick-or-treating for for readers.
That's a very good way to put it.
You know, they go from website to website. You know, they're linked. So, like, if you come to mine during a blog hop, then on my post, there would be a link to the next one. And you just hop from one to the other, and there are usually giveaways, you know, contests, whatever, to keep the reader interested, to get them to look at your website. But a blog tour is set up where, in this case right now, I'm in the middle of a blog tour where I have sent out interviews and personal blogs that I've, you know, individual, they're all completely different, that I wrote, and I'm guest blogging on, I think, nearly 20 different sites.
Do you sleep at night? Do you sleep at night, or what do you do, stay up 24 hours?
I panic mostly. because, you know, the thing is, the well has run dry. Talking about blog, you know, the guest blogging thing. Right now, I feel like the well is dry. I have two more I need to write before the end of this month and send out, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to say.
Well, you could probably you could write about this show. The show is okay. So I should say something like, people want me to do the chat room a lot of times, and I can't do the chat room because I don't have questions. So if I do the chat room, I will not be able to ask questions of my guests, and my guests will just sit there, and I will do nothing. Because people, you know, the other day I was on the show by myself with Helen Hemphill from, she's actually from Highlight, the Highlight from the magazine. She's from the foundation, and it was just her and I, we were just talking. And I can't do a chat because if I'm doing the chat, I will not. I mean, I'm a person who likes to do 100 things at one time, but I would like my guests who would like, I'd like to listen to what they say. So I think people want me to do chats. I can't do that when I'm on the show because otherwise it's rude. I mean, you know, we're not in the same room. Everybody is everywhere. You know, we are in every city. So that's why, so if anybody out there wants to know why I'm not in those chats, they can call me or talk to me, but I am not in the chat room per se. That is why Bethany is there right now, and I'm not, because I can't be, you know, because it's hard, you know, because I want people, I want to hear what everybody's saying. And so that's one of the things, but chat rooms are good for people to get into two conversations because it can help. And okay, Bethany, you have another question?
Yes,
yeah,
marketing. A lot of people, I know bookmarks are real big, you know, and giving out cards. What do you guys use for marketing? I've heard people talk about mouse pads and cups and stuff like that.
right now my biggest thing is romance trading cards, and I've pretty much phased out the bookmarks.
What's that?
Romance trading cards are like baseball trading cards.
Wow.
Only they're...
This is interesting. Okay.
Mine have, the book cover on the front side of the card, and then the back mm-hmm. side of the card has most of them have pictures of my heroes and little cute little sayings about my heroes, which I guess anybody who wants them, please just, Facebook me or Twitter me or whatever, and I'll and let me know you want them. I'll send them to you.
Wow. Okay, that's an interesting. I've not heard about that trading card.
It's a big thing to trade at RWA meetings and different conferences. A lot of people trade the romance trading cards.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not sure they do any good. But they're fun, particularly to hand out to people, like you said, at the beauty shop.
Right. I'm telling you, most of the stuff is probably is not that good, but we're doing it anyway. What the hell? We just keep doing it. You can't do nothing. You can't do nothing.
Well, yeah, that's it. You can't do nothing. You have to do something. The trading cards, or at least they're small enough, they're easy to carry around in my purse, so I can always carry them. They're cheap, actually, to have printed up. So, it's an inexpensive way to actually give someone something tangible, which is kind of ridiculous, I thought, giving them a bookmark when they can't bookmark my book because my book doesn't have pages.
Right. This is true. They can bookmark somebody else's. That's not a good idea. Right? So we don't want them to. We want them to get our book.
Well, and it keeps it. Still, if every time they open this other book, if they see my name, that's not a bad thing either.
No, I think that's a good idea. It really is a good idea to carry around those. It really is. Because I do, it's bigger than a business card, and this is kind of like, and I do think they're good. I have them, and I think they're, and I just have to give them out. That's my problem. But I have them.
Right.
And I think it's a good idea to do that. And even because it's e-books, they can remember your website then, and they wouldn't do it, you'll tell them, say, what's your website? And they'll go like, oh, fine. And then they walk away because they're not remembering it as soon as they get in their car or whatever. They don't know.
Right.
But this way they will. Yeah.
Em, what do you do? Because I know you're trying to keep your personal life separate from your professional life because of your family. So what do you do? Because, I can hand out something that says Roz Lee on it, and I don't care if anybody
hand out anything, and I don't – I feel bad because I feel like I'm like hiding from it, but I'm not. I have four very small children in elementary school, and I don't want any like stigma hanging over them, so I don't let anybody know that I write the erotic romance. So as far as like promotional items, I don't pass out anything. I don't pass out bookmarks. I don't have anything. I did over the summer buy some Post-it notes, like little notepads.
Yeah.
And, I sent a ton out to different conferences over the summer just to get my name into goodie bags, because a lot of times those goodie bags, especially in small conferences, are just full of pencils. So to get, something a little more substantial, they might actually keep it and not throw it in the garbage. They might actually use it.
So you're saying goodie pads at conferences? This is interesting. This is a goodie pad.
I think I had a lot of different conference chairpersons contact me and ask for any kind of promotional items to put into goodie bags, and I did have those, so I passed them out. But other than that, I do have, we have a big Red Sage Christmas event every year on the blog, and every day there's a big giveaway, and every day there's a blog or some kind of place where you can comment. All the comments go into one big hat, and then a winner wins a grand prize basket. So, like, what did you say, Roz? You have, like board game, an adult board game. I have an M. Petrova coffee mug. But, yeah, there's a lot of, big things that you can put out there.
So you guys are very inventive, because I think, Bethany, you know this too. Nobody has said any of these things. These are very interesting things, because I've had a lot of people on, but they really don't talk about these things. And there's some very good ideas.
It's constantly evolving. Every time you think you know what's working out there, you know, what's available, somebody comes up with something new.
Right. And it's like on a daily basis. That's the truth. It's like every day I think, so I finally get this right, and I go like, oh, my God, no, this is not good. So I try another thing, because it's true, though. You have to keep trying different things, and I think that's one of the things. I think Sage is probably lucky to have all of you, because you know what? You really, you know, you ladies have it going on here, because you know what you're doing. You're trying all these things, and I've heard from people, they don't try what you're trying. I mean, you're really trying all these things. This is really, I think, very interesting, and it can be applied to not only the erotic romance. It can be applied to anything. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's just about writing. I mean, and that's why I have become a type of that is talking about all kind of writing, because all of these little tricks, whatever we're doing here, it's from for everybody. And you're right, Halloween bag, I guess, because it's like I just said tricks, so it's tricks, right? It's kind of like trick and treat. You're right. This is a good way to put it. It's like, you know, this is what, and now you're talking about goodie bags, so it's like a whole different genre here. I got here going on here now.
I do have kind of. I was going to say, I think that it's important for authors to know, and especially newbies, like, don't break the bank. You don't have to do, like, put a lot of investment in it. There's so many good free avenues out there, and I always try to throw out some free promotional things to the people that I help market, just because we are starving artists. There's not a lot of cash coming in ever
Now, on your website, do you do marketing for individuals, though?
No, I don't.
I
just
go
through some houses.
Have you thought about doing that at all? Or?
I've never really considered it. I don't know. I'm kind of loaded, and then I really like want to focus on my writing, so I don't know if I would be willing to take on individuals.
You do for different publishers, though. Okay.
Yeah, but I do, like, I offer advice. You know, somebody emailed me and said, like, what is the best way? I would tell them, because I don't have any secrets, you know.
Have you actually thought about writing a little column? I'd be happy to put it on my site if you're thinking of writing a little column. I think that would be great for you to get your name out to more people, but it would also be good to have somebody, because I think you do know what you're doing, because you have contacted me, and which is a very smart thing to do, is to contact people on radio shows, because that's really one of the best ways to do it. So if you are interested at all, I'll be happy to put it on my site if you want to have a little, like, not Dear John column, but something else, you know, called whatever you want.
We'll get together.
Yeah,
we'll
I think
talk.
That'd be a good idea, because I think that the whole group in general of you, all of you have, you know, really done a lot of your homework. And that's really good, because most people, honestly, they don't know what to do. And that's why when I have these shows, I try for people to understand that they can listen. Nobody knows everything. And I've done this for so long, but every single show that I have, I've learned something. And I think that these are with things like this, I think it does help, because we're all meeting each other but sharing things that over the years have worked, and the things, and we're admitting the fact that some don't work.
Marcia,
you know.
I want to tell you that coming into the world of romance writers has been a really eye-opening experience for me, because I really never knew a business situation where everyone who is competing against each other, but at the same time is willing to help the next person.
I agree with you. I think that I really
just
do.
Totally,
I think
it's amazing how generous romance authors are with their time and their experience.
Because everybody knows how I feel about this. Because Ree McGay, who is Dancing with Bear Publishing, she was a romance writer. Now she has Dancing with Bear Publishing. And actually, you know, that is how you got to meet from her. And she is an incredibly generous person. And I think that all of you seem to be the same. And I think that everybody knows, since I became friendly with Ree and she on one of my shows, because actually she came on just to talk about a movie. It was a TV show that she came on just to talk about for 10 minutes. And then that was like a year and a half ago. And she's introduced me to all the romance writers, a lot of them. And they are, I mean, I have a lot of shows with romance writers. And I think, because it is an incredibly generous group of people, because it's not about me, you know, it's like everybody else is about themselves. But I think the romance writers in general are really, really helpful. I mean, Bethany, wouldn't you agree on that? You've interviewed, you've heard all the shows, a lot of shows.
Yes, definitely. They consider themselves, each publisher's writers consider themselves a family.
Yeah, I think it's great.
You know,
I really, I think it's really good.
I just got my contract yesterday.
It spans all the publishers. It doesn't matter who they are. I mean, you go to the writers' conferences, and I have met so many of, you know, the big name writers out there, you know, the New York Times bestsellers, and they're just as likely to give you a hint, you know, tell you what worked for them
or the mistake they made
or whatever. They're as likely to tell you that as somebody who's just starting out is. They're willing to help. They're willing to say, you know, hey, this is a mistake I made when I first started. Don't you do it too? You know, they're just so helpful. You know,
I think it's great.
They want you to succeed.
I agree. And so, Em, I think because, you know, I know I've kept everybody over the hour, but, you know, if you reach me like in March, let's plan on maybe March or April having another show with all of you on, and then we can discuss some new things that have come up, because by then probably another 100 things will have come up. And
there will be new. There will be something new.
That? Forget that. Forget that. But I think this has been a really great show, and I want to thank all of you for coming on, because it was really very informative, and there's a lot of things, and I'll be probably talking about them, and also I'll be looking for trading cards. I'll be, you know, that's what happens, you know, because I do the same things everybody else does. I want to know new things, you know, and I think that I think you've got a good team going on here, and I think Red Sage really is lucky to have you guys, because you are very supportive of each other, which is really good, and it is a nice thing to see. So thank you all for coming on, and Bethany, thank you for being on today, and I'll be on tomorrow, and who knows, I don't know. I always say I'm not doing it, and I end up with 5 shows in a week, so what can I tell you? I need to write more.
Thanks so much,
Marcia. Okay, thank you all.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, Marcia.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.